Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Persuaded. What is it that Paul says in Romans 8, verse 35? What does Paul say? He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You have an inseparable relationship with God. Religion can be separated because religion can grow into something else. It can add creeds. It can evolve or devolve just based on society and cultural tendencies. He said, who's going to separate us from? He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I mean, he went right on into the, these are not minor things he's talking about. This isn't you got a hangnail or you stubbed your toe. This is terminal stuff. Distress, persecution, famine. I mean, he went to major categories. He said, this stuff can't separate you because you have a relationship with God. Somebody could take your biological child away from you into a place where you'd never see them again and put them through distresses and tribulations and things that are absolutely horrifying, and they could even kill them. But think about it. All of those things does not stop that son from being your son. You can't separate who this person really is and the identity of who they are. He said, who's going to separate us? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are, verse 37, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, you've heard me teach on the more than conquerors. I just remind you, for those that haven't heard it, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? That means that whatever comes against you, God has the ability to give you the strength to defeat it. If you have 100 enemies come against you, you can conquer them. But if they go get 300 more, now you got 400 against you. Well, that's more than a conqueror. Whatever I've had to conquer in the past, I'm more than the conqueror of that. I can now conquer something even greater. I'm more than a conqueror. So let's put it in context. So you're just trying to conquer faithfulness to church. Okay, got that conquered. So we're not in famine, distress, persecution, nakedness, peril, or sword yet. We're not in these major categories. We're just trying to conquer these, you know, the little devils. Because there's a bigger devil coming. But he's saying whatever it is, if you continue to grow in your love, you can't be separated. No matter what level of the circumstance. No matter how intense the sickness or the circumstance. Because what holds me to the church and this love and this ability to be more than a conqueror is not the circumstantial. It's his sovereignty. Religion is circumstantial, not my relationship with God. My relationship with God is based on who he is and who I am to him. Now watch what he says, verse 38. You know why some folks don't make it all the way or won't make it all the way? It's this verse right here. Paul said, for I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. When you have a relationship with God, when you're in this love of Christ because of what he's done for you and who you are to him, the level of persuasion is what takes you to a place that nothing can separate you. He said, I'm persuaded. I'm thoroughly convinced. I have to my very core a conviction that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to what? He comes back to that same thought, what he said in 35. Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the summation of it all. What keeps you persuaded? I know who I am, and I know who he is, and I know the relationship that we have, regardless of what happens to me or what external forces say about me. Condemnation does not rule me. Sins of the past do not own me. I have been purchased by the blood, redeemed. I was filled with the Spirit. That means I was born of the Spirit, whereby I cried, Abba, Father, and He adopted me into His kingdom. I got His name. I got His word. I live in His covenant. Isn't that powerful? That's what persuades you. It can't just be the elementary level of, well, if I don't go to church, God will send me to hell. I'm scared half to death. If I don't do what God wants me to do, He's going to strike me with a thunderbolt. He's going to hit me over the head with that big trident that Poseidon holds, you know. He's got a picture. It's just going to be some kind of religious slugfest. This constant fearing of what will happen to you in terms of punishment. So that's why you do what you do. Okay, that's okay for a while on an elementary level. But as you matured in the grace of God, you realize, I'm not going to church and being faithful to the house of God and being faithful to the kingdom because I'm afraid to go to hell. That's elementary. I've grown. I've graduated from that. It's because I have a love of God. It's because I want to be a part of His kingdom. It's because I'm enthused by the revelations of the Word. I'm enthused by what I feel and what I hear, what I experience, and how I grow in the kingdom of God by being in the presence of the Lord. Notice how these things here are, they're dimensional. So when you're talking about going back to 35, you're talking about stress, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. These are all dimensional. What do you mean by that? I mean that they're all about the earth. We live in this confinement of the earth right now. Okay, so we're not in our heavenly bodies. That's why some of y'all still got your aches and pains. Don't look at your spouse. I wasn't talking about them. This is why you still suffer inflammation. This is why you still suffer sickness. This is why you can still get the blues and depression can come in. We still have to deal with this flesh. We still have to deal with an unsaved world that hasn't been redeemed yet, has not been renovated by fire yet. Redemption is coming, but it's not here. So these are all dimensional. Nakedness, peril, sword, famine. These are all things that can happen to you in this world. Height, depth, any other creature. Principalities, power. He's talking about the things you face in this dimensional atmosphere. But then you go to Ephesians chapter 1, and our awesome Bible quizzes learn this. One of the scriptures they learned was how He made us to sit in heavenly places together. We sit in, how do we do that? He's not just talking about the future when we're physically there. He's talking about when we congregate together and we are having a move of the Spirit and we are worshiping God together, we are raised up. We are temporarily and momentarily given a glimpse of what it's going to be like when there is no more distress, persecution, famine, and so on. You are taken to another dimension. And when you are taken to that dimension, the realm of the heavenly, the realm of the spiritual, the Holy Ghost, where He operates, where He sits upon the throne and the earth is His footstool, shows how grand and big the scale of God that is so much bigger than your trial. Isn't that exciting? Some of you are going to walk out of here today with greater faith just because you're going to compare God to your circumstance. Well, I came in here thinking, boy, I'm going through some pretty big trouble, but that's a big God and really little trouble compared to a big God. How I see things in this world is dimensional. I'm troubled. I can't pay the bills. I don't know where the next mortgage payment is coming from. I don't know if we're going to be able to have groceries in the cupboard. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go get that thing fixed with the doctor. I don't know if I have the money. I don't know how much longer I'll have this job. Make sense? These are dimensional distresses, trapped and confined within the world and a world system. I don't know how people make it without God, because some of y'all are barely making it with God. Right? I mean, the Bible talks about Lot scarcely being saved. Listen, at the end of the day, whether it's scarcely or abundantly, I just want to be saved. I'd rather be abundantly saved. But if I get there and I found out you don't even know how thin the ice was that you were on, well, I'm just glad to be here. I'm through the pearly gates and I ain't going back. I ain't going back to the dimension of distress and persecution and famine and deception, rebellion and lies and sickness and tears and death and sorrow. And that is the persuasion. I'm fully persuaded that my relationship with God is going to hold me. Folks that have secular acceptance and worldly acclaim and all the money they want at their fingertips, I know that's not everybody in this room. And if it's one or two of you, come talk to me. We are blessed abundantly. Probably even our poorest days in America are better than most have in third world countries. So we're truly blessed, okay? But everything's relative. So you're some of you, I know, the things you're struggling with. But when you have an opportunity to have prestige or power or popularity or fame or whatever with the world, sometimes it cushions us to our desperation of God or a need for God, right? But when you have nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go, who's going to truly help you when you feel so lonely? That's a human emotion that sometimes the greatest doctors in the world cannot help you. Now, they want to drug you up, but when you're fully persuaded, it's because my worth is not found in what I possess. And listen, it's not that God doesn't want you to have nice possessions. God doesn't necessarily want his children walking around poverty-stricken. That's not necessarily his will. But what happens sometimes when we get an abundance of things, we fall in love with the things and we lose our cutting edge. We lose our first love. So have things. It's okay to have things as long as they are secondary to a relationship with God. Some of you live in a nicer house than you ever dreamed you would live in. Am I telling the truth to anybody? Wave at me. Some of you have a better job than you thought you would have 5 years ago. Is it true? These are things that are dimensional. These are things that we live in a world that cause us to have stress and famine and et cetera and so on. But we are blessed. My point is, some folks, when they have everything at their fingertips, it's a cushion of religion because it's comfortable and satisfying. But sometimes it's in those places, we read about it every day. Why is it that multi-millionaire has got everything would take their life? Because possessions didn't make them happy. And when they could just go buy the bigger house and the bigger car and the bigger toy, it didn't make them happy. And they're still strung out on drugs because they're trying to cover a pain that only Calvary can cure. But sometimes people get cushioned and, I got this luxury, so I'm okay. But when you realize God is the only answer, no matter what I have, that's when you're fully persuaded. No matter what comes, no matter what I face, and it's not that you have this, braggadocious, bless God, I'll face anything. The only reason I would say that is because I know who's helping me. I know that it's Christ in me that strengthens me. That's what gives me the boldness, but not religious arrogance. Not human confidence, but the spiritual understanding that if God is with me, I can face anything. And you can too. Because you're persuaded that your relationship with God is going to keep you. So we have to deal with things in this dimension. We have to wrestle with principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So even though some of those forces come down from the other atmospheres, we wrestle with them in this world. I know we're not a Marvel character. We're not DC Comics here. You don't get to put a cape on as Superman and fly up and wrestle with him in the heavenlies. We have to deal with these things, and we wrestle with them in this dimension. But what gives us the heightening, what gives us the ability to go to the other atmospheres is our relationship with God. And so when we get in that spiritual flow and we're connected to him, now I'm made to sit in heavenly places. I rise above it because I'm seeing things differently now. My perception has changed. These are all just temporary, but we're headed towards something that is eternal. That's why the three or the triplets of our walk with God, faith, love, charity, or faith, charity, hope, faith, hope, and charity, love. These are the three things that abide. But someday faith and hope will no longer be needed. But love will always be. But you think about it. Hope is it's one of the cornerstones of our faith and our walk with God. What is hope? If you already have something, you have no need to hope for it. So hope is an expectation. It's an anticipation. It is a looking for something better. That is one of the first rudiments of what describes Abraham in his walk with God. He, his entire life, sought for a city whose builder and maker was God, no matter where he was in this world, and he was a very wealthy man by earthly standards. But in his nomadic journeys of searching for the castle of God, the spires of his kingdom out there that would impose themselves upon the distant horizon, he searched for it his entire life. You know why? And he never found it in this life. But he did find it, so much so that Jesus would call a place of paradise the bosom of Abraham. Can you imagine when Abraham walked into the kingly of the other world? I finally found it. But how did you get there? I had hope. Every day I woke up looking for something better. I'm not talking about that in a bitter, dissatisfied, human, voracious appetite for sin and the things of the world. I'm talking about every day as a child of God, you're looking for something better because you know you're just a pilgrim passing through this world. And the things that you suffer dimensionally in this atmosphere are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. 5 seconds, 5 milliseconds after the rapture takes place, all of the comparisons will be gone because you will live eternally. Paul saying how you get there, you got to stay fully persuaded. I've seen people walk away from God because they were persuaded that God didn't love them. I've seen people walk away from God because they were persuaded that the world offered them a better course. I've seen people walk away from God because they allowed their relationship to the Lord or with the Lord to be hindered by offense toward their brother. We can all examine friendships and family. Look around to places where people used to sit. And it might not even just be in this church. It might be years ago somewhere else. But we can all see the tree stumps where there used to be a flourishing, fruitful bough. And the branches extended and the faith was great. But now they're gone. They have been swept up in the world. They decided to walk away because somewhere they were not fully persuaded in the kingdom. And they didn't have a deep enough relationship with God that would keep them persuaded. So they got persuaded by something else. Paul says he's persuaded. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for doctrine. I thank you for the blessings that you give us like the dew in the morning. I thank you for your consistency and the fact that in you there is no variableness or shadow of turning. I thank you, Lord, that you're pure light, and when that light shines in our life, it dissipates the darkness and it takes away the dread and the fears of this life. I pray, God, that you help everybody in this room to be fully persuaded in their relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. I don't know what some of you are facing necessarily today, but I take a couple of scriptures here in the closing of this session. But Paul said in Romans 4 and 20 about Abraham, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The enemy will come at you, will he not? Well, I know this is what God said, but is he really going to do it? Sometimes he's bold enough to even say, can he really do it? But for most of us, like, well, you get out of here, devil. We know God can do it. But sometimes because we are so self-deprecating in our relationship with God, or fearful that we're not worthy enough, he's not going to do it, not for me. He was fully persuaded that he didn't just promise that he was going to do it, or he didn't just give a promise. He performed it. He did it. Praise God. Somebody just shout out, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then Paul says in Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Now this part I want you to see. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. On a teaching level, Paul was dealing with things that were disturbances in the church, like the eating of meats offered to idols and those kinds of things. But on a higher plane, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is the theme that Paul has in the book of Romans. You need to be fully persuaded that the law is not going to save you, but grace will. You need to be fully persuaded that you're going to have distresses and famine and persecutions and so on, but they won't separate you from the love of God. And you need to settle these issues right here in your mind. You need to be fully persuaded. I suppose today we could title this teaching, Fully Persuaded in My Relationship with God. Fully persuaded in my relationship with God. When you have that friend, it helps you when there's no other help. It comes down to the brass tacks and the fundamental levels of I've got God, and in this particular moment, I don't need anything else. Not greater. He will supply my every need because I'm His child. He may not be my Santa Claus to give me everything I want, but He will be my God to give me everything that I need. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship the Lord just a few moments. We thank You. Why don't you just thank Him for being your Father? Thank Him for being your friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank You, Lord, for letting me be an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Thank You for letting me be privileged in this kingdom. Thank You for all of the blessings, God. I couldn't even begin to name them or count them. But if I had no physical things of this world that would show the blessings of God, the greatest blessing of all is that You redeemed me by the blood. You redeemed me by the blood. My friend, I hope you've enjoyed this live presentation of Reservoirs and Rivers, being fully persuaded in your relationship with God. And I pray that the river of the Holy Ghost will become something real to you, that if all you have known is simply God in an education, you've studied, you know it historically, you can quote certain passages, but you've never really felt the fire of His presence in your life, then I pray that it becomes more than information to you. It becomes more than a set of historical facts to you, that it becomes more than a degree or an education to you. I pray that it becomes a true experience to you, because Jesus said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. And He spake of the Holy Ghost. He spake of the power of resurrection. And it's not that we base everything solely upon feeling, but we do know that when you have an experience with God, there is a feeling. And there are elements that come alive, like a rushing mighty wind, as described in Acts chapter 2 and 1, or a river of the Holy Ghost, as Jesus would describe in John chapter 7, or being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, as John the Baptist forecasted that would take place through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So through these elements of wind and fire and river, and it's even in Acts 2:17, it is confirmed of what Joel prophesied about the outpouring, the rain of His presence. All of these elements describe something, because it is something that can be experienced. It is experiential. It is something that can be felt. And I want you today, if you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, to know how glorious it is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, to have peace that passes all understanding, to truly be baptized in the power of His presence, and to know that the presence of God will live with you in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, in your daily walk, in your daily decisions, that you don't have to live according to a religious reservoir that is only predicated by the commentaries of men. No, you can truly have an experience of God that has a river of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name.
It's been declared it's revival time. 2 minute lives still on the line. No time to wait, no time to wait. Spread the word, spread the word. I feel something moving. I feel it in the air. I just can't explain it. It's happening everywhere. Signs and wonders greater than we've ever seen before. Heaven sends a message and it's been declared. It's revival time.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.